I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Christ demands zeal. Those are the words of Venerable Fulton Sheen.
Amen.
Christ demands zeal. What does that mean? It means we need to toughen up.
Exactly. Because
there's too much at stake to be lazy and soft. Terry and Jesse show, I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
I'm on duty, but I only see my bald head. Now I see myself. Hey, I'm on duty, Jess, reporting for service, sir. And Jesse, I'm excited. You know, I do my push-ups before the show. For a reason. I mean, I want to stay in shape, but you know what it does? It gets me a little fired up. Like, I mean, Jess, when you were a boxer, didn't you do a little bit before a boxing match? I mean, a little.
Of course, you got to get nice and warmed up right exactly. Before you step in the ring. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, I look at this is the ring. This is God's ring right. Of truth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to have a great show. We've got a lot to talk about on this feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor. We're going to be covering some things. First of all, sad but true. Remember yesterday I mentioned that the CDC said it's safe now to open up schools. Well, duh. Think about all the suicides. Well, in Las Vegas, the fifth largest school district, they're opening up their schools not because they think it's safe. You know why? Because they're having too many kids commit suicide. Sad, but you know the we call it collateral damage. We're also going to be talking about the Biden-Harris reaffirming their position on killing unborn babies. And I'm going to point out that only a report that shows only 15% of Americans agree with this administration on abortion. That's the latest poll, which is good news. We're also going to be talking about the U.S. bishops urging Biden to reject, you know, his teaching on abortion, same-sex, all these same-sex marriage, all this stuff. But, you know, I want to ask the question, why now? Why it's a little late. He's already the president. We'll talk about that. Also talk about the leftist media talking about Biden as being a devout Catholic. Excuse me. Let's look at the facts, Jess. He's anything but a devout Catholic.
I had to cough, Terry.
Yeah, I know you have to cough. This is so ridiculous. But you know what? If it doesn't support the narrative, you're done. And, Jess, there's so much more to talk. But you know what most important is for our show is? The good news of Jesus Christ, his gospel, the readings from Mass that we give to you
every
day.
I want to do the first reading today, Terry.
Good.
A lot of good theology there.
Yeah.
First reading.
Let's do it. I got it right
here. Here we go. A letter from the book of, a reading for the letter to the Hebrews.
Says it. Yep.
Chapter 10, verses 19 and 25. By the way, though modern biblical scholarship doesn't know who actually the human author of the book of Hebrews.
I can tell him it's St. Paul, brother.
Yeah, that's the traditional
that's
interpretation.
That's my position.
Yeah. And it only stands to reason because he was a Pharisee and he was a scholar. And this is a scholarly letter.
Yeah.
It's written by a highly educated Jewish scholar. And so it stands to reason. It wasn't written by a fisherman. Here's what it says. Brothers and sisters, have you noticed, the order of God? God's all about order. Notice in all the letters that Paul writes, he'll always say brothers and sisters. It's Adam and Eve.
Yep.
So it's patriarch and then matriarch. That's the order in the economy of God's hierarchy. The man is the patriarch of the family. You'll find sometimes at Mass, Holy Mass, you'll have some leftist, modernist lectors. They'll say sisters and brothers. And when I'm sitting there, I say they just changed the readings because it never says that. Because St. Paul followed strict patriarchal order as established by God. So just I want to mention, if you ever hear people invert at Mass, sisters and brothers, they did that on their own accord, which they can't do that. Germ paragraph 22 says they can't do that. So we go. Brothers and sisters, since through the blood of Jesus, we have confidence of entrance into the sanctuary by the new and living way he opened for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a sincere heart and in absolute trust, with our hearts sprinkled in pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope. For he who made the promise is trustworthy. We must consider how to rouse one another to love and good works, We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A couple of points jump out at me. The word, we have confidence through the blood of Jesus. Notice, yeah. Sometimes you have Protestant fundamentalists, they'll talk about absolute assurance. That's not in the Bible. That phrase, the Bible always talks about salvation as having confident assurance. How? Through what Jesus Christ did, that gives us confident assurance, not absolute assurance. So again, the teaching of Protestant fundamentalists does not comport with New Testament theology. Another thing that jumps out, We must approach God with what? A sincere heart. What does that mean in a state of grace? That's the only way you can approach God in a state of grace. This is why many Catholic priests are saying you can't give Joe Biden Holy Communion, because he's not approaching God with a sincere heart. And we know that because of his public record on the culture of life and culture of death issues. It also says, with our hearts sprinkled clean. That's a reference to baptism, okay? Our hearts were sprinkled clean. Our soul was through the waters of baptism. And what does it do from an evil conscience, okay? We're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and the sacraments are supposed to give us the power to have a well-formed moral conscience, not an evil conscience. It says our bodies washed in pure water. Again, a reference to the sacrament of baptism. Holding unwaveringly to our confession. What does that mean? Every Sunday at Mass, we do what's called the profession of faith. That's the confession St. Paul is talking about. That confession is what we call today the profession of faith. He goes on to say, which gives us hope. What is hope? It is the theological virtue that makes us believe in the promises of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Another thing that jumps out at him, he says, rouse one another to love and good works. That's what we try to do in all the poems in Virgin Most Powerful, rousing people who listen to us to love and good works. And then it says, we should not stay away from our assembly. What does that mean? Don't stay away from Holy Mass. Third commandment. That's what he's talking about there. That's the reference right there. Don't, regardless of what people are saying right now, get to Mass on Sunday. It is essential to our soul, to our salvation. And that's what the Bible talks about. We should not stay away from our assembly. It's a reference to the holy sacrifice of the Mass every 7 days. And he also says, encourage one another. That's what we try to do on all the shows on Virgin Most Powerful, encouraging all of you in following Christ no matter what. And at the end, he says, why do we have to do this? As you see the day drawing near. What does that mean? My mother-in-law, she had her exit interview the other day. We're all going to have our exit interview. We're all going to die, 100% of us. That's what St. Paul is talking about as the day draws near. Your day is drawing near. Every day that ticks is one day closer to your judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a fearful thing to die in a state of mortal sin, especially if you have much power like Joe Biden. And when you face an all-holy God, knowing that you've been told by bishops and priests over and over again, and you're still obstinate in your position to hold the culture of death issues. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. And that's why I say it's the most merciless thing to do is to let someone wallow in their sin and be quiet and not speak up. So let's hold on unwaveringly to the confession that gives us hope and consider how to raise one another in love. And love is when you tell people the truth in charity. Jess, I just want to add the responsorial psalm number 24. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. I think that we have to have that attitude like that because we have to continue to long to see Jesus Christ. Because that is without that, what do we have? We have no hope if we don't have hope in Christ. And that's why I think a lot of fear is coming in our culture, because we forgot to have our faith in who? Not the president, not the government, but in Jesus Christ. Let's move on to bringing the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. Jesse, this is a quote that was 67 years ago, before any of us were born. I really, truly believe, Full Sheen ahead, too. I believe, Jesse, that Fulton Sheen was a prophet, okay? In a sense that he saw things coming down ahead of time. Because here's what he said, and it just sounds like he's speaking in the year 2021 about conflict and politics. And boy, Jess, I'd love to have you, next time you write a book on politics, quote Fulton Sheen. He says,
that's right.
The conflict of the future will be between a God religion and a state religion. Mm-hmm. Between Christ and the Antichrist.
Whoa.
But in a political disguise. Explain what he's talking about, Jess, because it sounds like.
Terry, what book did that come from?
The Quotable Sheen, brother.
Oh, the Quotable Sheen.
You got it. Page 186.
It's very simple what he's talking about. Right now what we have in America, and Fulton Sheen just nailed it, we have those that have a secular humanist worldview and those of us that have a biblical worldview. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Or what the Bible says in 1 John 3:10. You have the sons of Satan and the sons of light. And that's where we're at right now, Terry. And Pope Benedict warned us.
Yeah, he did.
That we would enter into such a time as this. He called the future that we would enter into, which is here right now, he called it the dictatorship of relativism. And that's what we're experiencing right now. A lot of people have bought into the lie, the diabolical lie, that you can't know the truth. That truth is relative. No, they're wrong. Jesus Christ says in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Well, Larry? Jesse, I want to just add one more point to that, what you just said about the truth. This is what Benedict said back in 69. He talked about this way back in 1969. He said the church is going to get smaller. So become, if you're not Catholic, join us, because we need a fight. We have to fight for truth. And we need more people to do that. Hey, when we come back from the break, I hate to tell you about the scourge of student suicides in Vegas, because no school, this is happening all over the country. We got crime going up all over the country. Why? Because we shut the system down. We'll be back in a moment with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Thomas of Aquinas, angelic doctor, pray for us.
Amen.
Terry, just want to mention something that's kind of interesting before we go to the Vegas article.
Yeah.
Is that Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky. Oh,
fantastic, man.
Yeah, he is, Terry. I'm really
I like him more and more, especially what he did in front of the Senate the other day.
That's the point. He motioned for the Senate
to
dismiss an impeachment trial of Donald Trump on the grounds that he's no longer in office.
Right.
There's only 5 Republicans who joined all 50 Democrats in rejecting the attempt to dismiss the impeachment trial. So the 55-45 vote indicates it's highly unlikely the Senate will have 67 votes to convict Donald Trump on the impeachment charge. And Rand Paul made a rousing speech on the Senate floor. May God continue to give him zeal and courage, Terry, to stand up against those proponents of the culture of death.
Yeah. Hey, Jess, do you mind before we start? I just got this in front of me. I wanted to I know it's a shifting of the topic, but we've been covering the virus and the vaccine for quite some time, and I just want to make a connection. Check this out. And if anybody wants this connection, you can email me and I'll send it to you, terry@stjoe.com. Put your seatbelt on. Check this out, Jesse, about coincidences. The laboratory in Wuhan is owned by GlaxoSmithKline, who coincidentally owns Pfizer. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Pfizer for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. The building of the lab was overseen by Dr. Fauci. GlaxoSmithKline is managed by BlackRock Financiers, who coincidentally manages the finances for Open Foundation Company, which has deep connections to George Soros. Mm. And more interesting, Soros owns the German building company, Jess Wilterfer, which coincidentally built the same laboratory in Wuhan. These birds of the feather flocking together. The Wuhan lab was purchased by Alliance Vanguard, a global investor, and coincidentally owns a large portion of shares in BlackRock Finances. Now, BlackRock is coincidentally a major shareholder in Microsoft. Microsoft is owned by Bill Gates, who coincidentally is a major shareholder of Pfizer. It gets worse, Jess.
This is called nepotism, Terry. Yep. This is called the deep state. Yep. They're all, this web of liberal, progressive, Marxist companies and people that are interconnected to control planet Earth, Terry.
Well, Jess,
control
our speech,
control our movements, control our thoughts.
Right, yep. I just had to demonstrate that connection because I think when you put the dots, you dot your I's and you cross your T's, you see that we're being, people are making billions of dollars. Check this out, Jesse. The vaccine industry is a $69 billion industry. Compare that to beer, $29.5 billion, more than double. Here's the point. Follow the money. We said it, but I just wanted to make the connections. All right, let's get on to this. Student suicides, unfortunately, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Terry, let me just read we get good questions. So
that would be a good time. You got it.
Yeah, because the essential, the nuts and bolts of the article that we have is that Las Vegas is opening up the school districts because a lot of kids are killing themselves or because of depression as a result of the lockdowns. So thanks be to God that Las Vegas or Nevada is showing some common sense, and hopefully the rest of the country will follow suit. But here's somebody just sent me an email yesterday. I heard you in Des Moines, Iowa. I was hoping you could clarify two things for me. Jesse, you mentioned that God has to grant permission to Satan to do things. Yeah. How can that be? Why would God ever want to approve anything Satan would want to do? So I respond to the person. In Job chapter 1, the Bible demonstrates that Satan has to ask God permission to tempt Job. And so the power of the devil, as the Catechism says in paragraph 395, is not infinite. And the devil only acts with the permission of God, paragraph 395 of the Catechism. God allows the devil, demons, to tempt us because the struggle against temptation benefits us spiritually and we grow in grace. So that's... And I got one more, another email. Jesse, what about... I serve on a Catholic board nonprofit, and on one occasion, one of our founders will make soul decisions based on what her spiritual director advises her. Inevitably, she will say, God spoke to him and said, we need to do, etc. And she will make decisions based only on those conversations. What do you say, Jess, about people in the Catholic board saying, we should go in this direction because God spoke to me? Here's my answer. My answer is in the Bible. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, it says, quote, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Also in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, and Proverbs 24, verse 6, it also mentions that good decisions are made with a multitude of counselors or having many advisors. So the general principle from the Bible is that there's wisdom in seeking a wide range of advice from other people instead of relying on one's own knowledge or intuition or having a voice spoke to me or a mystic spoke to me. We have to consider other points of view and draw on the experience of others. People of faith is a good thing. For example, Terry runs Virgin Most Powerful. He's run other organizations. Terry's always consulted me for everything.
That's right.
And not only myself, the other people that he trusts. So once again, Terry follows the biblical mandate. Terry, we could go on to the...
Let me just throw one more thing about getting advice from somebody. Fulton Sheen adds that to what you said about Proverbs. He says, you're going to go to someone who gets some advice. Go to someone who's suffered greatly.
Mm.
There's wisdom with someone who's gone through suffering. And I think that is a good principle to follow. I've tried to follow that too, Jess.
Yeah, that makes sense, Terry. Yeah. And Terry, also just remember, and one more thing I want to just mention since we're on that.
Yeah.
Father Sebastian White, he writes for the Magnificat, and he's a Dominican. And he writes, you got to be careful about saying that I heard a voice, so I'm going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's a very dangerous principle for a Catholic to go by. I heard a voice, so this is what I'm going to do. Here's what he writes. Few souls are privileged to hear an audible voice from heaven. He writes, I'm not one of them. To be sure, such an extraordinary grace is not one we need, or ought to expect. In fact, impressive as private revelations, visions, or locutions may be, and though they can aid devotion or call attention to an aspect of the faith, they pale in comparison to the awesome and yet ordinary gift of sanctifying grace. Yes. Additionally, The official or public deposit of faith contains everything necessary for our salvation, as the great theologian Father Garrigou Lagrange once told John Paul II.
Yep.
Close quote. So he says, Father Garrigou says, Lagrange, the church may investigate the teachings of extraordinary mystical revelations, declare them free from error, and promote them without judging infallibly about the divine origin of the private revelation. We can therefore read about them, visit their shrines, and adopt certain theological practices without putting them on the same level as scripture and big T tradition, close quote.
Yeah, one more thing I'm just going to throw at you, Jesse. One of the saints, I can't think of the saint's name, but it's Matt Arnold's favorite saint. I can't think of it.
Our Lady of Good Success?
No, a saint that that was in Rome in about the 15th century.
St. Neri?
It might be, but here's what the saint was. The Holy See was investigating somebody in central Italy saying that they had apparitions of the Blessed Mother. So this saint went down to the monastery to talk to one of the monks and find out what's going on here. And when he knocked on the door, and the saint knocked on the door, and the guy answered the door, and he says, "Hey, I'm looking for this monk that supposedly has having apparitions of the Blessed Mother, and he's got some message. Do you know of him?" He says, "Yeah, man, that's me. The Blessed Mother's coming to me." And the saint said, "Oh, okay." Shut the door and went back home and says, "They're false." you get it, Jess? In other words, if that's happening to you, you're not going to go and start. That's right. Not coming from God. That was the saint's message. I thought that was appropriate. All right. That's
man-made. So, Terry, coming back to Earth.
Yeah.
This article says mental health, they say, is intrinsically linked to physical health.
Of course it is.
Something few entities considered during the first virus first wave.
Yeah.
Even though the risk of contracting and spreading the novel coronavirus remains high in places like Nevada, the risk of losing a generation of young people to isolation-driven depression and anxiety and suicide is weighing heavy on the
administrators. It's about time we decide that. Wow.
It says, when we started to see the uptick in children taking their lives, said Jesus Jara, the Clark County superintendent of Las Vegas, Nevada. He says, so we saw so many young people taking their lives. We knew it wasn't just the COVID numbers we need to look at anymore. We have to find a way to put our hands on our kids, to see them, to look at them. They've got to start seeing movement and some hope. So again, Terry, this is a common sense move. A lot of school districts are moving in this direction. President Trump has been saying this.
He has.
He was saying this for months, Terry. He was saying that the lockdowns, the supposed solution from Dr. Fauci and the World Health Organization, the supposed solution of lockdowns is worse than the effects of the virus.
I've been saying that, Jesse, for a long time.
Yeah, you've been consistent.
I've said that because you know what, Jess? Think about it. The CDC, Center of Disease Control people, just came out and said, oh, it's okay now for kids to start going back to school. What? You know, Jesse, we saw the statistics. This is a virus that 99.9% of the people are going to survive. And then when you talk about the collateral damage of 10,000 children a month dying of starvation because we shut our workers down, and all the men and women that have lost their homes, their jobs because of this, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It seems to me, Jess, and I'll just call it for what it is. I want to recommend people to go online to find out about a military doctor who's basically saying that, all right, if I get shut down for saying this, it's going to happen, that this was an attack from China, okay? Mm. And they're saying, and it made sense, because the virus shut the United States down, the economy, everything was affected poorly. It made us less prepared to defend our nation. So I can see all that happening. But this is a person who's a medical doctor for 30 years fighting this type of war that she's talking about. So I just happen to think it makes sense, Jess.
They call it biological warfare.
Biological warfare,
It's here now.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah, they no longer, people know, communists and the bad guys, they know you don't need tanks. You don't need fighter planes.
Nope.
You don't need machine guns. That's old stuff, Terry. That's dinosaur stuff.
Yep.
The way they're going to do it now is biological chemical warfare. And we're seeing it right now. Terry, one of the things that also saddens me, there's going to be more depression amongst married men, that are trying to support their families because men are losing their jobs in record numbers. Yesterday,
yeah, tell us
in one fell stroke of the pen, Joe Biden
executive order. Yep.
He made obsolete 5,000 jobs
on the border.
Across the border. Yep. I have one family member that works there building the fence. 5,000 jobs were lost yesterday overnight by the stroke of a pen. 5,000 men unemployed.
And that doesn't even include the related jobs, the people who support them, like feeding them. All of this is bad news. These
are the cement companies.
A whopping 28 executive orders so far from President Biden. And all of them have been terrible. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, we are two Catholics with PhDs in common sense. That's all it takes to get to heaven. You don't need advanced degrees. All you got to do is have faith like a child and a little bit of common sense and live in a state of grace, and you know, you're good. That was basically, I just described my mother-in-law. Simple woman, lived in a state of grace, a lot of common sense, no college education, no high school diploma. But again, she died with the sacraments of the church, and that's all we can ask for. Terry, it says there's an article here, Biden-Harris released statement celebrating killing babies in the womb. The statement on Friday that was released in honor of the 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, celebrating the murder of millions of babies through abortion. In the announcement, the Democrat politicians promised to remain deeply committed to ensuring access to abortions. In other words, ensuring access to first-degree murder, which they labeled as reproductive health. I love the way the left calls murder reproductive health. They also praised Roe versus Wade as a foundational precedent, close quote. Joe Biden made these statements, Terry, with a rosary in his pocket.
Yep. It's like a rabbit's paw, what do you call that thing?
That's a lucky charm
lucky
for him.
Lucky charm, because
it's not
that.
A sacramental for
him.
It's
I heard
a
him
lucky
say
charm.
It.
Yeah, because he said it.
Yeah, he said it. He says it's just like a something I have in my pocket. I feel attached to it. You know, give me a break.
How the media keeps calling him a devout Catholic? He's an empty suit. How they keep calling him a devout Catholic? It just escapes me.
Yeah.
The March for Life president Gene Mancini wrote on Twitter, quote, doing so brings more divisiveness at a time when our country needs unity and healing. Yeah, Terry, Joe Biden talked about uniting the country. He's dividing the country more than anybody I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
This country is damaged right now. And his executive orders, he's hit them like fastballs one after another.
Yeah.
This is completely going to polarize this country, patriots, conservatives, and people of faith. Ryan Birch from Catholic Vote also weighed in on the statement, noting that Biden's true colors of remaining deeply committed to the intentional destruction of innocent life through the heinous practice of abortion, they're showing. He writes, this represents a major rupture with the church. Only days after his press secretary described Joe Biden as devout, the organization wrote. Joe Biden's full-throated endorsement of abortion today totally vindicates Archbishop Jose Gomez, head of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, who warned Catholics that our new president has pledged to pursue certain policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity. Close quote. Though that was a great statement, a little too late.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, Terry, if people are having buyer's regret.
Oh, yeah, I call it buyer's remorse.
Or if people are having the heartburn.
Well,
I think Tums is selling Tums is selling a lot of product right now, Terry.
Well, let me give you the facts, Jesse. You nailed it. Only 15% of Americans agree with Joe Biden's position.
Wow.
Okay, this is from a national report. Yeah, support up to birth. Okay, and now a new poll shows the majority of Americans are pro-life, oppose all or most abortions. And Jesse, this is good news because. Here's
very
one more
good news.
More good news. It's the millennials, the young people are saying this. And so Joe Biden has lost. He's got the lowest approval rating for a president when he's firstly been inaugurated I mean, Trump had a much higher one. But why are people regretting it right now? I think they're regretting it because they're seeing that what Biden is all about is really it's not American. It's killing future citizens. Jesse, we've got someone from Boston, Massachusetts, on one of our lines, and I don't know his first name, but I want to welcome him to the Terry and Jesse Show. Whatever side you're on, we're glad to hear from you. Is it Kent? Is that your name?
It's Kurt.
Kurt. Kurt. God bless you, Kurt. What's going on?
You remember me. Hey, I was thinking of, it's funny. We had the Feast of St. Agnes, and my grandson goes to a Catholic school, and, they were saying the rosary on a Zoom meeting. And now listen to this one. Someone hacked into one of the kids' accounts and started, as they were saying, the Hail Mary, using all types of female genitalia descriptions.
Oh, no.
I won't get in.
No, you shouldn't.
Okay, for
horrible.
5 minutes. And I said, this is what the demonic does when you're saying the rosary. Yeah, my grandson was, But, the whole thing I was going to say is we have to respect for life. Okay, 65 million babies have been murdered.
Right.
Why aren't we, instead of being quiet, we say our rosary, which is wonderful. I'm up to saying two rosaries a day in Latin. I say the whole thing, and I've been passing them out, and I've been telling everybody to say the rosary in Latin, get the confession, and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
But why aren't we basically doing something like this? Why not get a bunch of old baby dolls, all in pieces, and just dump them on some of these state house steps, all loaded with blood or pitches, saying this is what really happened.
Yeah, that would be very
right
graphic.
Down to them.
Yeah.
Great.
Kurt,
why not?
Kurt, we've
that
done that. Let me just jump in. That was done with Father Joe Fessio back in 1987 at Operation Rescue. He did that with his trash truck. He said, we're treating these kids like they're trash, and they're not. So I appreciate you making that comment, Kurt.
Yeah, there's also been other good pro-life organizations, Catholics and Protestants, that, I mean, they have trucks with a big old, billboard right on the side.
Yeah.
Graphic pictures.
Could I say one more thing?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't mean to get graphic. Don't get me wrong. I want to promote all the justification of prayer, peace, and all of it, and let God take care of it. But, when you start hearing about the demonic getting in with all the witchcraft, mm-hmm. The rise in satanic activity, churches being closed and watered down sermons. You can get into arguing with priests and all this socialistic thought that's been in place since the last 50 to 60 years and all the institutions in the United States. Look at, Nikita Khrushchev's famous speech, what he said back in 59 and 60. And, the other thing I'd like to say,
Kurt, hang on a second. Kurt, we got people on hold right now. You had said one thing and you said seven things, so I gotta cut you off, brother. Hey, I want to get to Miguel in San Diego. He's been waiting on hold for a while. Miguel, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Hello, Miguel.
Jesse Romero, muchas gracias por toda tu ayuda que me has dado todos tus años.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. I remember watching you guys when you were over there in Limón, California, on Ave Maria Radio.
Uh-huh.
That's where I got to see that. I'm too blessed to be stressed. All the time I say things to you, Jesse.
That's cute.
But right now, I just want to talk about what they're saying about Joe Biden being a devout Catholic,
Yeah.
I think they're trying to feed us a lie, and have everybody that's not going to church anymore because of the closing down of the churches to make, this is what Catholicism is supposed to be. It's supposed to be pro-abortion. That's why they make for the Hispanics to be the Democrats so that we can be pro-abortion when we're supposed to be pro-life,
Yeah.
You can't be a Democrat if you're pro-life. And for being Hispanic, we have to be pro-life as a Catholic way. And I'm just saying we're being fed a bunch of lies from these people. I also think that this election was stolen from us,
Of course.
I really believe it. And they're trying to make us say that it was a fair election. This is all gaslighting.
Miguel, why don't you really tell us what you think?
Yeah, Miguel, you're right. This is all gaslighting. But this is also communist tactics that the Democrats have learned from their communist friends. Gaslighting your opponents, canceling them out, also controlling the narrative, controlling the media, controlling your speech. All of this that we're seeing right now. Yeah. All of this that we're seeing right now has been borrowed from the Communist playbook, the Communist Manifesto. The Democrats are using it on us right now. Great comment.
All these other evil people, you know. But yeah. I think there's an awakening for the. I'm the laity of the unlearned laity, and we're getting woke, a true waking up of the lies that's been going on, you know.
Miguel, keep doing what you're doing. Spread the faith, English and Spanish. Get the word out. You're a good man.
And you know what? I'm praying the rosary every day.
Good job, man. Well, you couldn't be on the team without that, brother.
That's right.
And thank you so very much for everything that you guys keep it up, and I'm going to do whatever I can so that this word, the true word of God gets given up, and hopefully, at least have people who are on the way to hell, have them go to heaven to wake
Amen.
Up to the realities of hell, you know.
You're a good man, brother. Good man.
God bless you guys and keep it up. You know, thank you so very much.
God bless you.
Miguel's implementing Our Lady of Fatima when she said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices.
Everybody listening must be praying the rosary every single day. There's no excuses. And I'm going to even put you guys on a stricter diet. Add the 12 noon Angelus every single
there
day.
There you go.
And the 6 p.m. Angelus every single day. Some of you don't get up at 6 in the morning, so I'm not going to go that far. And I'm also going to add the 3 p.m. Divine Mercy. We've got to be firing cannons throughout the day because that's what prayer is. Prayer has an offensive power to it. And every time you pray, think about a shotgun. Bam! Bam! I want everybody out there to be firing prayers into the cosmos. 12 noon Angelus, 3 p.m. Divine Mercy, 6 p.m. Angelus, and find either in the morning or the evening the time for the Holy Rosary. I want to hear shotguns racking from every Catholic home. Bam! That's what prayer is. It fires off an offensive weapon into the cosmos.
Well said. We've got Daniel in San Bernardino up next. Daniel, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Daniel, go right ahead.
How are you guys?
We're blessed, Daniel. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind, brother?
I was actually watching the news right now, One American News, and I noticed that the President Biden just signed a memo saying that he's going to ban everybody for using the Wuhan virus.
That's right. That was yesterday.
Instead of COVID-19. So I just wanted to comment that it's unbelievable how this new administration is overreaching to our
First Amendment.
Here at the shop, because I do own a auto repair shop,
good.
So I get to talk to people like almost every day, mm-hmm. and I'm amazed how many people have been brainwashed to accept the new administration, and how they're against all the President Trump's ideas and all of that. So I always try to talk to them and tell them that if you are pro life and a Christian, you have to go with Trump.
All right, Daniel, hang on, buddy. I appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Hey, people are calling in and venting and saying what they want to talk about. That's great. I just want to give some more good news. A pro-life law in Poland goes into effect today, banning these abortions where their babies have disabilities. And this is going to save thousands of lives. So I just want to say my hat goes off to the people in Poland. They're one of the few countries, Jesse, in Europe that has banned abortions along with Hungary. So I appreciate that. We have Daniel, and John will go to John after Daniel. Daniel, finish your thoughts, brother. You got bumped by the break. Finish your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. Yeah, okay. I was saying that I do own an auto repair shop here in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
And I get to talk to people like every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how most of them are brainwashed with these new ideas of the new government and how they're somehow against the President Trump's accomplished being a pro-life, a pro-family, pro-values, pro-freedom of speech, and it seems that they just don't care. They just don't like him, and they're just you can see that the hate or hatred from those people. Like wow, it's just amazing. And I always try to tell them the opposite. All that President Trump has been able to accomplish.
Yeah.
But somehow they just I hope that. I'm able to plant the seed.
That's it.
For them in the future to change their ways. Some of them have, because when they leave my shop, they're like, you know what, I'm going to look it up, or you're right, or, you know, you gave me some a totally different angle. So sure. I just wanted to comment that.
Thank you. Daniel, keep doing what you're doing. We need the little guy. What Fulton Sheen said is that the laity is going to save the church, and you're part of that team. So you're part of Team Jesus.
Correct.
Thanks so much, Daniel. Hey, we've got John in Arizona, where Jesse's residing. John, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother?
I just want to say thank you, guys. First time caller, first time actually being on this site, and like Jesse, and I like went to you guys' conference where you gave a talk, and I've got the books, Lord, pair my hands for battle.
Good,
you met your face to face, and I'll have like mama's boy, but I'll tell you what, enough is enough. Biden, wake up and smell the coffee. Catholics across America, it's time. And I'm saying this as a man of faith. I am a certain knight. I'm a part of the Knights of Columbus. It's time to sound the alarm from Washington to Florida. Code red. Code red. Amen. America's under attack. When are the priests and the bishops going to wake up and smell the coffee? I am tired of what the enemy has done to my church. And I say this in faith and in prayer.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Satan. Get your hands off of America. It does not belong to you. It belongs to the body of Christ. Enough is enough.
John, I wish you really would tell me what you think. Hey, brother.
Because that's what I think.
I could tell. I could tell.
Biden needs to go, one. Second of all, we as Catholics need to stand up and kick the enemy right in the face.
Yeah.
How do we do that? It is not physical. It is spiritual. Black Lives Matter. Those people are wounded. Jesus calls us priests, doctor, kings. He calls us the body of Christ for one of the reasons is to jump into the battlefield, help those people. And this division across America is just sickening.
John, here's I think you're speaking for a lot of us out there. I appreciate you making those comments in the sense of our frustration. And again, it's a spiritual response. You pray your rosary. Do your duty. Love your wife. Love your children. And speak the truth in charity. And I will say this, John. You remind me of a great saint, a great pope, what you said. And he said, not to oppose error is to improve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And to indeed neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. That was Saint Pope Felix III in 475. We talk about sins of omission. We got to step up to the plate. John, God love you and your family. Jess.
Yeah. The fight that we're in right now is spiritual.
That's right.
And it's also, which also touches on the political, because Satan uses politics to maneuver in society. That's Catholic teaching, paragraph 407. He uses politics and education, paragraph 407. So as Catholics, we have to be living in a state of grace. Why? Because our prayers are more effective, James 5:16, when you're in a state of grace. If you're praying and you're in a state of mortal sin, John 9:31, God doesn't hear your prayers, okay? So our prayers are offensive weapons that drive back the diabolical and provide a defensive perimeter around us when we're in a state of grace. So that's number one. Remember that. Number two, as Catholics, pray for those under you, because all of us have a little church. It's called a domestic church.
That's right.
And your prayers are much more powerful as you're praying for your spouse. You're praying for your kids. You're praying for your grandkids, because there's a patriarchal authority within that God has established within every father and grandfather. And so remember, as men, let's pray for our little domestic church, because your prayers are much more powerful because they are directly under your authority. And third, also when we pray, let's be specific with our prayers. Matthew 7:7, you got to be intentional. I'm specific. I pray in the morning in my rosary. I say for Joe Biden's conversion to the Catholic faith.
Kamala Harris.
And the vice president, I pray for the protection of Donald Trump at this point.
Yep.
I pray for the renaissance in the Catholic faith, a rebirth in Catholicism. And I pray for a patriotism to be restored to our nation. So those are specific prayers. So remember, prayer is powerful when you're praying, especially as men. Men are the patriarchs of society. A man's prayer is very powerful because that's the way God has ordained it. To be the spiritual leader of each house. So remember, pray for those under your authority. A, make sure when you pray you're in a state of grace. B, make sure you're praying throughout the day. That's called constancy in prayer. Demons fear constancy. Demons like a man that's inconsistent in prayer. He'll say, oh, yeah, I prayed a Hail Mary on Tuesday. Okay, on Friday, all right, I'll pray grace before meals. No, demons fear. There he goes again, 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 p.m., night prayers. Oh, no, grace before meals. Demons fear that household where prayer is being projected. And then also, on the natural level, remember, vote pro-life. At this moment, it is so clear. Anybody who runs for any office, even the local dog catcher, you got to make sure the guy's pro-life, because all these people, Terry, they have a desire to ascend the ladder. I remember in California, Alex Padilla, who's now a senator, Padilla, I talked to him and he was just a city councilman. And I went to a rally and I was asking him questions. There's a big crowd there. I'm saying, what's your position on abortion? He kept deflecting. There's a lot of people there. I'm with my wife. He says, no, well, it doesn't matter, Mr. Romero, because I'm just running for city council. So that doesn't affect that. My views on abortion are irrelevant. So he refused to answer. And I said, the reason I want you to answer the question, because I know you don't want to stop at city council. Guess what, Terry? He's a senator in California right now.
Yeah.
All these people from dog catchers, they plan on ascending the ladder. And that's why it's important to use that as the deciding issue, whether I'm going to vote for you or not. What's your position on killing babies?
Yeah, Jess, I want to just add something, that this statistic, just 15% of Americans agree with Joe Biden's position supporting abortion up to birth. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think maybe the church should have spoken out against Biden like a year ago when he knew he was running to be the next potential president, rather than after he's been inaugurated as the president? I'm only pointing it out, Jess, that why is it that nearly 50% of Catholics voted for Biden? Now, I can only say that they're low-information Catholics. I think, here's my point, I don't want to be responsible for not speaking the truth and charity to my children, who I'm under a responsibility before Almighty God. And I would just say the priests and the bishops and the Holy Father, every one of us have a position where we're responsible for shepherding people, whether it's your family, the Romero family, or the Barber family. I want to just make a point that this was sad that our church was so quiet during the election. As a matter of fact, Jesse, people like Father Frank Pavone was condemned because he was so pro-life, promoting the gospel of life during this election, when we should have had all the bishops on the same page, because we all supposedly say that same creed every day or every week on a Sunday. So here's my point. I don't mean to be derogatory. All I'm saying is that we need to speak out and not wait, because these sins of omission are coming through. So when you talk to somebody at your home or at work, and they're your family members, whether it's a special event, let's speak out the truth, because every word, Jesse, you and I, when we have our exit interview, God's going to say, hey, Terry, remember that person that came up to you and said they're pro-choice and that you should be pro-choice too, and you didn't say anything to them? That's a sin of omission, buddy. Speak up is what I'm saying, Jess.
Terry, also, there's unfortunately too many bad clerics in our church have sold their office to the child murderer.
Well, look at the money coming in.
Yeah, and here's an article. You can look it up. It says, federal government gives USCCB $2 billion
I know.
A year.
That's...
Just type that in the internet.
It's
federal government gives USCCB
Yep.
$2 billion a year.
Follow
just
the money.
Type that on the internet.
Yep.
And you're going to see the cash cow that's coming in to the USCCB. The child murderers have bought their silence. And here's another one.
God have mercy.
You want to just read another one? Pope Francis receives $2.5 billion from communist China every year since 2013, since he came to office. Okay? Here it is. Pope Francis receives $2.5 billion from communist China every year. Look that up on the internet. You're going to see all these well-documented, researched articles that the Holy Father and the bishops are not denying, Terry.
So what can we do when we have a crisis in our church and in our culture? Hey, you know that rosary? Get that rosary out. Get a Bible in one hand and a rosary in the other, and implement what we call the five stones of King David. Jess, that's what we can do. Let's talk about the solution.
The solution is become holy or die trying, because remember, every single one of us in heaven, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to be impressed if you went to seminary, if you, you know, if, he's not impressed by titles,
right?
Okay? He's impressed by the heart of a child and somebody who has trust and obedience. And so pray your rosary every single day. That's going to be the weapon St. John Bosco, St. Dominic says, is going to save us from the modernist heresy.
And one
go
more.
To ma-
yep, go ahead, Jesse.
Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Holy Bible every day. And remember, implement a life of penance and more prayer. And number five, remain in a state of grace, and remain so by going to confession often.
And don't forget that new poll showing 80% of the young people, the millennials, oppose abortion up to birth. 57% oppose Roe versus Wade. Are you kidding me? Yeah, we've got good news. You know what it is? We win! But we got to pray hard. We got to speak out for the truth. And Jesse, what else we need to do? What state should we be living in, brother?
Every single day, man.
Yep, every day.
Make sure you park your car in the state of grace. And make sure you don't park your car. You get out of there, the state of mortal sin. Because, again, that's the only state that's going to matter at the very end.
Up next here on Virgin Most Powerful is Dr. Sandoval. Great talk about confession with your family, how to get kids to go to confession. We'll be back again with a new show.